welcome everyone to Renegade Radio. I am your host, Andy Lowe, and as always, we are brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. And today, we are going to continue, as always, talking with interesting people who are breaking the rules of conventional thinking, doing things that define the standard norms, and thinking outside of the box to find business success. And my guest today, we decided to put him on all alone as an executive series. We have the CEO of Great Wraps, Mr. Mark Kaplan. Mark, welcome to the show today.
Andy, thanks for having me.
Well, we are glad to have you. And, you know, at first, when you think sandwiches, you think, hey, what's so unconventional about sandwiches? But Great Wraps has been thinking outside of the box for some time and really bringing some revolution to the fast food market and to the industry as a whole. But rather than me telling the whole story, let me turn it back over to you and tell us a little bit about Great Wraps, who you guys are, and what you do.
Well, Andy, we were wraps before wraps were cool. I mean, we started the company in the late 80s, and it was so unique, it was so out of the box at the time that people didn't even know what wraps were. That's not the case now. Now everyone's serving wraps, from the fast food guys to sit-down mid-scale restaurants. Everyone has a wrap on the menu. But the thing that's interesting about us is that we still focus on wraps. It's a hot wrap inside and out. And that's what sets us apart. When people walk through an airport and see our name on the wall, they know that it's a beacon for wraps, and that's something that they know to look for. And so this is our strength right now.
Well, I know one thing that's popular for you guys as well is really getting to the idea of making fast food not only taste good, but have some health behind it as well. And let's face it, in the wraps, as they become more popular, restaurants aren't always going healthy just because it's a wrap.
No. In fact, it's getting, I think it's sometimes getting harder to find something healthy to eat because restaurants are realizing that although people are talking health, what they really want is something that tastes good. Now, Andy, when you talk about something that tastes good, you're talking about fattening foods because essentially fats and sweet taste good. So it's hard now to find something good to eat. That's our sweet spot. That's where we specialize. And I'll tell you now, I'm gonna blow my own thunder here, but Great Wraps has just come out talk about breaking the mold. We've come out with a absolute cutting edge cooking platform now, where we're cooking in our stores. This is not in all the stores yet, but soon it will be. We're cooking without a fryer, without a grill, and without a hood. So by that I mean we're making cheesesteaks, we're making hot wraps, we're making fries with no oil, with no fryer. So you could do that now with far less calories, far less fat, and still deliver the flavor. This is a cooking platform that you won't find anywhere else. We can talk about it later if you like, but it's going to absolutely raise the bar again.
Now, what's driving that? I mean, as a restaurant or a franchise even, how do you decide we're going to really commit ourselves to this healthier style when we know that there is a large portion of the population that is driven towards that, give me more grease.
Give me more grease because grease tastes good.
That's right.
I mean, I'm the first one to tell you after the show, if you want to take me out, we're going to go get a big old burger and fries, and we're going to enjoy our food. Why? Because we're working hard, and we're focused on what we're doing. When we get a chance to go out, Andy, we want something that tastes good. Now, they do surveys of what people want. Health always scores really high. But what really is off the chart is taste and indulgence. Now, if you're able to combine both, if you're able to deliver indulgence and taste and truly give the customer health, I'm talking about low calories and low fat, now that is revolutionary. That is a path less traveled. And that's where food is going to go. This cooking platform I'm talking about, we're the one of the first to do this in the entire country. This technology does not exist. Our own company-owned store in Georgia are the only places where these cooking devices exist in the entire state of Georgia. There's not many even outside of Georgia. But I would predict that 15 years from now, this will be the new standard of how food is cooked. Just for that reason. Food that tastes good, moist, hot, flavorful, and also half the calories and fat of traditional foods now. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Where's the downside? There is none, except that no one knows about it.
Actually, I've got a question on downside, because here's what my brain thinks as a consumer, as we've seen the health craze and people are trying to eat healthier and clean up, and you know, organic's been a big thing, and the first thing that jumps in my mind is it's expensive to eat healthy.
Yeah, just go to the grocery store and go to the organic veggie aisle. Oh, my goodness. You might as well be buying veggies at Bloomingdale's.
They have a credit stand before you get into right. the produce stand.
You got to go back to the debit machine to get money when you see those prices.
So how do you bring healthy, fast, and reasonable price to the market?
It's the way it's cooked. Think about this, Andy. Right now, we've crossed over 2010. We're well into it now, and I've got my iPhone sitting right here right in front of me on your table, and I just came here in my car that's got Bluetooth and has all this technology. Your house is probably wired, does everything for you, but walk the dog, and we're still eating just like we did in the 50s. We're frying our foods, we're slathering oil on a grill and cooking meats. I mean, this is just like we ate in the 50s. And if you really think about it, we can get to the moon, but we still have to fry fries in a bat of grease, dripping grease. Now, once again, it tastes so good, we're not interested in letting it go. But what's happening now is we've discovered this new technology. We're not the largest or the smartest guy out there. The technology is there now to cook foods in a way that's more healthy, not buy ingredients that are more healthy. You're right, that's too expensive. Who's going to do that? Food costs now being so sensitive, no one willing to spend more money for food. So we can't raise our tickets. So the way to do it now is to find innovative ways to cook the food where you don't lose the quality, you don't dry the food out, you're not serving leather for meat, which is what a microwave does. I mean, let's let the cat out of the bag here, Andy. If you want to cook food without a fryer, without a grill, right now, the only technology doing it is microwaves. Now, I'm not going to mention any names of my competitors, but if there's not a hood in that store and they're serving you a hot sandwich, that's what they're doing. Come on.
Yeah.
So that's how they're doing it now, but you know what a microwave does to bread? It dries it out. You know what it does to vegetables? It dries it out. So the new cooking technology on the horizon is rapid heating without the use of microwave.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that you're on the front end of that kind of innovation, Mark. I mean, you've been an innovator for a long, long time, and in fact, that's how you got into the Great Wraps franchise. So I'd like to really dig into that and tap on your expertise there. We have a lot of people in our listener audience that are either business people themselves currently in or operating a franchise, or they are leaving the corporate world, especially as markets tighten, and they're looking for how they're going to provide a future legacy for themselves and their family, and many of them are turning to franchise. So, you know, share with us your experience, how you got started into franchising to begin with and ultimately bought the Great Wraps franchise.
Well, my partner and I bought Great Wraps because we saw that franchising is a fabulous business formula. I mean, it's not only fabulous for us in developing a successful concept that can expand, and we can talk about that separately, but more importantly for your listeners, it's an incredible way that you can get into your own business in an affordable way and also be given a system that is proven. Now, when I say proven, it's not what the franchisor tells you of how proven it is, but you have so much information you can get. You can talk to current franchisees. You can be a customer of that concept yourself, and you can see if the concept has legs. And then you can look at the numbers, and you can see if the projections are reasonable. You can speak to. We can talk about all of this, but the beauty is so many people now want to get into business, and to go into your business on your own, come up with all the elements that is needed to launch your own business is a minefield, Andy, I cannot even describe to you, that very few people make it out of. Yet, go with a franchise, and so much of that minefield is pushed aside, and there's a path that you can walk straight through, and you can avoid the mistakes that the first-time entrepreneur, I want to say always, and I hate using that word, but it's the first-time entrepreneur always makes the same mistakes, and they're costly. And being that you all know, and your listeners certainly know, that cash flow is king, you start wasting your money over early mistakes, you're toast. You're toast. So franchising provides you that path through. Now, I told you, and I'm really excited about it, I really love to share with people how I think they can avoid the remaining minds that might still be in that path, because Andy, no one's going to clear it away completely, because you know sometimes it's self-serving, you let it slide.
Sure.
So, you know, we can talk about that because I just love helping people understand how to avoid some early mistakes that can be made.
Well, let's help people size it up from the beginning. So first off, if you're looking for a franchise, what are some areas that are really hot right now? Things that are just, they're good places to be if you're looking to enter a franchise business.
Well, food is always at the top of the list. It just seems as if you can go back, you know, any five-year period you want, and food will be the amongst the fastest-growing franchises. And one reason is because food is not stagnant. Food is very dynamic. You always are having new categories open up that weren't there 5 years ago. I mean, you know, the burrito category that is so hot right now, it wasn't there five, six, 7 years ago. It wasn't. I remember when Moe's was tiny. I remember when Chipotle was being kicked around as a small concept and bought by Pepsi, and there weren't many of them. I had to research it to see what it was. So you have categories opening up, the noodle category. The noodle category, you know, when I was much younger, I mean, Asian food was a niche category. You didn't have it was hard enough to find Asian restaurants, much less quick serve. Now, let's be clear what I mean by that. A quick serve franchisable concept is something that has developed all the systems of a full serve quality fare, but they have developed the systems to synthesize it down to 700 feet in a mall food court or 1,500 feet in a quick standalone or with a pass-through window. So these are very professional, systematized concepts that people can now franchise and get the full package. So I think I'm going to have to stay with food as the number one.
And within that food category, would you say quick serve is the hotter market right now versus the full service sit down style restaurants?
Yeah, it definitely is, Andy. Much fewer moving parts. When you talk about full serve restaurants, you're talking about managing wait staffs. You're talking about taking care of whole buildings, and you're just talking about so many different elements to manage. The small entrepreneur, you know, really would rather just be ringing the register and would not like to bother with all of the, you know, prepping ingredients. But when you get to quick serve, you're talking about really managing a counter. The menu is finite. It's simple. The ingredient counts are a fraction of what a full-serve restaurant would be. Fewer people to manage, a smaller staff. I mean, Andy, can you imagine on a busy Saturday night, all of a sudden you're the owner of that franchise. Let's say it's a mid-range steakhouse franchise, and all of a sudden the calls start coming in from your wait staff. Mr. Andy, I'm sick. You know, of course, cracking through their voices, like laughter maybe, because maybe they're not so sick. But the point being that all of a sudden your wait staff has to be managed, your storeroom has to be managed more, the physical state of the building, the parking lot, you have to, so many things to take care of. So yes, quick serve is the sweet spot in food.
And within that, I mean, what are some of the different financial levels that you can get into a quick serve franchise at? I mean, when I think quick serve, the first thing obviously pops in my mind would be something like a McDonald's, you know. But we all know that that's a pretty healthy investment. You got to have a lot of capital already on hand. You pretty much need to have already made your millions, right? But what about the guy who just left the corporate world? He's got a severance package. He's got, you know, $50,000, $100,000. Can he get in the quick serve market?
Nah. Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, I could sing it a million different ways, but the answer is no, he can't. And the reason why is he's got $50,000, $75,000 now to do a McDonald's type of endeavor, which is going to take $750,000 or $1 million to complete, because we're talking about a land deal. We're talking about bricks and mortar. Now, if you talk about a mall food court, you're talking about a McDonald's counter. Well, of course, I'm not McDonald's, so I don't know specifically, but I would estimate we're talking about $300,000 to $350,000 to put a McDonald's in a mall food court. Mm-hmm. That's doable. He's going to have to go to the bank now and borrow $250,000. On that, he's going to have to pay his monthly payment, which is added to everything else he's doing. So this is what we're talking about. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. Now we're getting into the projections of literally putting down to paper, what is it going to take for me to be successful in this concept? And ultimately, Andy, it comes down to one thing, volume. Because volume, like a fresh coat of paint on your house, is going to make it look like a mansion. So Volume covers all evils. That's the cliche in the business, but it certainly covers this evil, and that is a big-time monthly expense.
So if you make the investment, you get into the market, and now you have a franchise, whether it be food service or any other business, let's talk about those minefields. I mean, I think one of the things I've seen a lot is people put their open sign up, and they think, okay, you know, the sign's open, people are just going to come, and the volume's going to be there, and then it's not. I mean, what are the mistakes that they're making?
Wow. I mean, Andy, you go right to it. That's the number one mine in the minefield, okay? That's the one that's left. And it is this assumption from the franchisee that, wow, I've gotten into this great system. They're hot. They've got systems. I've spoken to franchisees. They're successful. I could be successful. I got a good location. The franchisor helped me negotiate a fair lease. Here we go, right? I'm already planning my vacation to Hawaii. I told the wife we can get that car. You know, I mean, and this is exactly the point, because when you buy a franchise and you're granted a franchise from the franchisor, and I'm assuming it's a good one, okay? And we can talk about the alternative to that, which is a problem. But I'm assuming it is a good one. It's a viable one. Now, you're only at the starting block. Andy, you've only entered the race. You're only at the starting block. They're about to open up the block. The horses are going to run. And you're on a big-time thoroughbred. And you could do well, but you've got to run that race. You have to run that race. Now, we could talk a lot about that, but I'll just tell you what I think is the number one element of what I say is running that race. And that is, you got to be hands-on. You got to be hands-on. You got to figure out what that business needs. If it's the food business, which I know a little bit about, it's going to be you have to be willing to connect with customers. You have to always look back at your store and your people and look in the glass at yourself and make sure that you got your game day face on every single day to engage customers, to offer stellar customer service, to make sure the product is singing with quality, shudder the thought of compromising anything to save food cost or labor cost, unless it's a worthy decision. It's all about engaging the customer. That is, in the food business, the number one thing that you must do to run that race.
So how do you know what to do, though? I mean, that sounds great, and we hear a lot of people talk about, oh, our customer service, but customer service experiences can be very, very different. Is the franchisor teaching this to me, or am I having to learn this myself? And if I'm learning it myself, where in the world am I getting that from?
The franchisor definitely has a position, and hopefully they have formal training. We certainly do, great reps. But more than that, you really depend upon the franchisee to come in with an inherent understanding. We try during the discovery period before they sign on, we try to tell them and we try to show them this type of franchisee makes money, and this type of franchisee, although might make a little bit of money, doesn't nearly maximize the potential. But we depend on them to come in with a personal understanding that connecting with customers is a good thing. And I always, during Discovery Day, I always give this little elevator pitch to them. I say, when you invite someone into your house, you don't do that without thinking ahead of how everything is going to be. I know my wife and I, we sure don't. When people are coming into our house, we're cleaning the house, we're preparing things, we're moving things away that we didn't realize how cluttered it looked until we look at it with fresh new eyes. The food that we put out, we want it to look good. We want it to be proper temperature. We want everything to be right, because people are coming into our space, and we want to show every ounce of our human connectivity, our love, our receptivity, our thankfulness. We want to show everything we have by putting it out there for our guest. I was about to say the customer, because we're going to flip it in a second. So we're doing this for our guest. And then after they leave, we think about it. We say, whoa, what a great night. Everybody had such a great time. They opened up. It was wonderful. The energy was wonderful. And then one of us might say, but you know what? Next time we do this, why don't we move that empty box that was in the corner that we forgot to move? That looked kind of chintzy, you know? I mean, that's not us. That's what we ask the franchisee to do. We ask them to go back into their store, think of the guest as their real guest, the same guest that would walk through their house, and every day prepare their store and their employees and themselves for an engagement, for a party, and look at everything. Then at the end of the day, just like I said with my wife and I, you go back in there and you say, look, it was a good day. We engaged well. Where could we even do better? Well, you know, that employee, their shirt looks a little old. We got to replace that employee's shirt. Looks kind of worn. We don't want to be seen that way. Or you know what? Those utensils, they can be seen by customers. We don't want customers seeing utensils. So they're constantly going through and sharpening their own approach, their own they're smiling. They're doing whatever it takes to engage with the customer. This is the number one mine left in the minefield that only the franchisee can clear away.
Well, let me ask a question off of that, because that's such a great point. How do you get your employees to care as much about your business as you do?
Andy, you're in the zone, man. First of all, really hard, and never to be taken for granted. I just called on a store in Houston, a brand new store opened in the Galleria Mall in Houston. If you're in Houston, Texas, you have got to check out the new Great Wraps. Awesome. Hoodless, no fryer, no grill, fries, half the fat, half the calories, but let's not talk about that right now. And I had the same discussion with him because he hired a brand new crew, and one of the employees, 3 hours after he hired them, he fired them.
Wow.
Now, this franchisee is unbelievable. This franchisee not only clears away the mines, but he takes a giant mallet and he smashes them 10 feet into the ground that they should never appear again. He's unbelievable. And this is something that if people could own this, right down to their very soul, what a connection with the customer is all about, they will be more successful, not just in the food industry, but anywhere. I mean, it's all about people. We're doing business with people, and we have to understand that. So I asked him. I already had a good idea myself because we trained this, but I asked him. I said, so what exactly are you looking for? You fired this guy 3 hours after you hired him. You saw him on the line. You saw it wasn't there. What wasn't there? He said he didn't have an automatic smile. He wasn't connecting with the customer. His eye contact wasn't there. And if it was there, it was forced. It wasn't as if he was connecting with them with his eyes saying, I'm so glad you're here. I am here to make sure you have the most incredible experience you have ever had, that you're going to be clamoring to come back. You're going to be telling customers about us. The food is going to be off the chart good, hot, moist, flavorful. And if I perceive that there's something I'm putting into your sandwich that maybe you don't want that, I'm going to say, well, did you want onions? I'm going to help you. I'm not going to let you make a mistake. I'm going to take care of business here. That when you come out of this, you got exactly what you wanted. And then the rest is left to Providence. I mean, if it turns out that you don't like it, well, so be it. But if we're close, it's a home run. In other words, if we can hit a pop ball with you, it's out of the park. But you know, if we're not for you, if what you really wanted was pizza and you came to us and you said, okay, then we got to let you go. But the ones that come to us who are in our wheelhouse, we're going to knock it right out of the park. He says, I demand, and I won't stop until I have employees who understand that this whole business, everything I've spent, the hundreds of thousands of dollars I invested in this store, comes down to the first time you look at the customer, your smile, the tone of your voice, the way you want to help them. My whole business is in your hand, and I can't afford to let you work here 3 hours and 1 minute if I know you're not the one. He fired him. And he took me to school. Because I had a concept for it, but he took me even to a higher level.
That's powerful. And, you know, an interesting thing about that is, just from listening to the story, it didn't sound like he tried to save the guy. I can fix him, right? He's a good guy, so I'm going to fix him. I'm going to teach him. It just wasn't a fit, and sometimes you got to know when to just move on.
I mean, Andy, I don't want to get outside the business world, but isn't that true about life? I mean, we can sit around trying to fix each other. To be who we want to be, but ultimately isn't it about it is what it is? And that was his idea. He says, Mark, you know, I don't have time. It's a pretty tight job market, and there's lots of people responded to my ad, and I made a mistake. Maybe he made a mistake, because I also told him what I was looking for, and he jumped at it. Oh, yeah, you know, I can do this. Oh, yeah, this is what I'm all about. So there was mistakes made. Who knows who made the biggest one, but it had to be fixed because we're talking business. We're not talking about, you know, this is not a interpersonal workshop he's running. He's trying to make money. And your listeners care about making money. And to make money, we really have to understand the job that has to be done, and we have to surround ourselves with the people that can do it. And there it is.
Well, let's flip over sides now. We've been talking about the franchisees. Let's talk about the franchisor for a minute. So, you know, if I'm out here in the audience and I'm listening and I've left the corporate world and I've got an idea, I've got a widget, I've got a service, I've got something that I just think the world is clamoring to get their hands on, and I'm thinking I want to duplicate myself and make not just a little money but a lot of money. Franchising might be the right route for me to go. How do I know, and what am I thinking, and how do I move forward, or should I move forward with my idea?
You know, anybody who's in the franchising business will hear this question even at a party, at a cocktail party. Someone's going to come up to me and say, "Mark, I hear you're in the franchising business." Now, when I hear that opening, Andy, I kind of know it's coming.
Your radar goes up.
I'm a radar, you know, oh boy, and we ain't going to talk about the Braves, okay? So he'll say something like, or she'll say something like, "You know, I've got this business. It's a really quirky food business, and they're lined up out the door because no one's doing what I'm doing. Or I own this this embroidery shop, and I do it in a way that no one's doing it. I could give 20 other examples of franchisable business, and franchising just seems like such a natural, because now, you know, with very little money, I could put it out there, and 100 people are going to come to me and open up 100 stores and pay me royalty. I don't have to do hardly anything." And sounds great. And, you know, if they just do what I'm doing in Nashville, Knoxville, Jacksonville, if they just do what I'm doing, you know, they should make money. And, you know, well, of course, I have to say to them, well, following your analogy, following your path of logic, oh, yeah, sure, everybody wins. Why wouldn't you do this thing? But there's some more things to think about, Andy. One is, once you take the original formula away that was so successful, there is no guarantee whatsoever that it's duplicatable. There's no guarantee that you take a restaurant that, and I could name so many in town here and other towns that I've visited, you know, I always ask, what is the totally coolest local place to go? And they'll send me, I was in Houston, they sent me to this Western, it was so fabulous, or I went to I was in Dallas. They sent me to this small Mexican restaurant. So fabulous. Or you can find restaurants with such local flavor that deliver product and service that you've never seen before. And, again, I'm back to the question, is it duplicatable? Now, and so I tell that person, well, instead of looking at the franchising business, because there's no telling that you let somebody from Trenton, New Jersey, do your concept. You're hundreds of miles away. You're not going to be able to watch it. You don't know what this guy's personality is, ultimately. You can't fire him in 3 hours if he don't work out, right? Mm-hmm. He takes your concept. You're not there. What's he going to do with it? Oh, when you come for your visits, he might snap too, and everything is the way you think it was supposed to be. You leave 2 seconds later, it's different. Or there's some nuances in the concept that he doesn't think his customers would like. He starts to change it. Or there's some parts of the preparation that are difficult, requiring him to get to work 2 hours before the store opens, before the business opens. And he's saying, you know what? If I didn't do these elements of prep, if I bought these things pre-prepared, I could show up only an hour earlier. And wow, wouldn't my life be easier? All of a sudden, the concept starts to change. Starts to change, okay? And you're not there. So there is no assurance, and the graveyard is full of fabulous concepts where the initial business was successful, but once starting to branch out and duplicate, what they found was it wasn't duplicatable. You couldn't take the magic from the original unit and expand it into multiple units when the original owner, who probably was the source of the magic, he wasn't there. And now all of a sudden you're dependent upon, you know, Joe Entrepreneur, Susan Entrepreneur, in Phoenix, Arizona, who comes from a totally different mindset, a totally different orientation, a total different love of the business, love of the customer, love of the product, just plain love, and they're different. Can they sustain it? And I tell people, look, if you believe that you could take your business and develop a formula to support it. And here's the acid test. You're not going to be there. See, your energy will not be there. It'll be someone else. So it has to be a formula that is stronger than the personality of the owner. Because if it requires you, Andy, if it requires you going from table to table every night and everybody's going around town saying, oh, you got to go to this chili place because Andy's there and he's magic and he's going from table to table and it's his recipe. His grandfather brought it over from Chili Land and, you know, it's magic. Well, then, you know, the concept might be all about you. But if the concept truly is about the best chili that ever existed and there's a look and there's a feel and all that can be put into a formula, then, Andy, I say, yes, it is franchisable. And if it is franchisable, it's magic because it's a wonderful business formula.
Well, let's go through that and talk about the discovery process. So, obviously, during that, a franchisor is trying to get to know the franchisee. The franchisee is trying to get to know the franchisor. Maybe give us what's the most important question that a franchisor needs to ask to know if the franchisee is a fit, and in reverse, what's the most important question the franchisee needs to ask to know if the franchisor is a fit?
Wow, that's rich, because the most important questions that the potential franchisee can ask, he won't ask of the franchisor. He'll ask of other franchisees, but we'll get there in a second.
Okay.
When the franchisee is going through his discovery with the franchisor, one thing the potential franchisee and you listeners who are thinking about franchising need to remember is the franchisor is trying to sell you. He's trying to sell you. He doesn't expand by telling people, well, look, you do what you want. I'm going to give you a couple of facts here and you go think about it. No, he's going to have passion. He's going to have enthusiasm. He's going to sell you on his brand because he believes in it. He does. He's been successful in stores he's owned, and there's other franchisees out there who are successful. So you have to remember he's going to sell you. So you're talking to someone who's biased. I'm in the business. I have to tell you this is the way it is. So you want to really try to pick up on how I don't want to say honest, but you really want to pick up on how realistic is a franchisor being from his first sentence to you. Is everything fabulous? Is he not wanting to show you any of the pitfalls, the mines that we talked about? Is he not wanting to show you where you could fall on your butt and seriously get hurt? Because that's the realities. We all know it. So I'm telling you that the first thing to look for is a level of sincerity, a level of real. If anyone starts to paint that this is a slam dunk and no miss, I'd urge you to head for the door. Because everything that follows after that is going to be questionable. The real questions that you first want to ask the franchisor is, what type of support do you give the franchisee? What type of support? This feeds into your earlier question because, Andy, when they sell the franchise, unfortunately, too many people in this business walk away from you. They do. They sold you the franchise. You're on your own. They've given you a package. They've shown you everything. They got you into the starting block, as I described. And now they're telling you, run the race. Come on, run the race. You said you could do it. But we all know that we need coaching along the way. I still need coaching in the things that I'm trying to pursue in life, and so does everyone, and so does the franchisee. So you want to know from the franchisor, how often are you visiting the stores? You want to see prior communications. Is there email communications go out all the time? Is there training tapes that go out all the time? Is there conference calls I can get on once a month to ask my questions? You want to know what type of interaction on a continuing basis is there between the franchisor and the franchisee. That means he's with me. He didn't just leave me alone. He's going to run this race with me. Then the other side of the equation and the better part of the equation for you is to talk to franchisees. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road. What type of experience are they having right now? The franchisor told me these things. Is he doing them with you? He says he has a conference call once a month. Are you on a conference call every month? Do you have access to people when you have a problem? If your equipment goes down, how quickly can the company help you get it back up? You really want to know what is the interaction of the franchisor, because I'll tell you this, if someone did a study, and they probably have, comparing the level of support to the level of success in a franchise system, I guarantee you, the more support, the more success. Now, I'll end this answer with one more thing. It may take us somewhere or maybe not. On the other hand, the franchisee's got to be willing to take the support. so many of them, Andy, will just say, you know, what, you think I'm stupid or something? I can do this myself. I don't need you to help me with this. Now, during the discovery process, we try to get that person out because we don't want to have a know-it-all in the system because they don't accept new ways. They don't take our coaching. If they have a problem, they'll be more denying it than fixing it. Life's too short. So the franchisee has to also do their part by welcoming the support, wanting the coaching. You know, I run the 100-yard dash in, 12 seconds. Well, yeah, well, can you run it in 11? Fine. 12's good. 11's better. Want to take some coaching? You want to make history? Oh, well, I make $100,000 out of this store, Mark. Don't tell me what to do. Oh, yeah? My staff came to see you and saw these very important elements not tended to. I believe you could probably do 120 out of this store. You want to do it? Or is 100 enough? Enough? That's the worst word in this business, Andy. Enough. So I would say that's one thing you really want to look for.
Well, that's an interesting aspect because it really brings up, and this is true in any type of business, in my opinion, but there has to be a level of transparency and accountability if you really want to mark improvement and growth for yourself or your business.
Hey, you're talking about life. I mean, we've all got to be willing to admit where we're falling short so we can go longer. Hey, let's not go there, right? We could be there for a whole hour just talking about that element of how well are people willing to admit when they need help. And our franchisees are no different than any other franchisees, although in our system we preach this a lot. We talk about this openly. Somebody doesn't have to tell me if they have a personal problem, getting along in a party. I don't really, if they want to, we can talk about it. But what I really want to know is, why are utensils staying visible to the public that shouldn't be visible? Why are things in your store going on? Why is this employee not smiling? Why are you not sampling? We have a product that is not known like a burger or pizza or some other products that are more well-known. We have to get the product in their mouth if we want a shot. Part of our formula there is constant sampling, but not hawking. Sample, sample, sample. No, 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 no. No way. Sampling, would you like a sample? And when they do, we're willing to describe the flavor notes and the care we take to make this product, to sort of romance it. It's not sampling, it's not hawking, it's sharing, it's giving a gift. And if someone doesn't want it, thank you very much, have a great day. So this is a very important, if they're not doing it, I know that they could be doing 10 to 15% more volume right then and there. I'll grab that plate myself and start sampling and show them that I can convert a certain percentage of everybody I sample to come and write to be a customer. Now, if you're not willing to be open like that, but Mark, I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, then hire somebody who is. Come on. Hire somebody that is. And that's what this fella in Houston does so well. He knows all the roles he needs in his store, and all the successful franchisees do this. They know that sampler needs to be a connector, a happy person, someone who doesn't bring their baggage to work, and somebody who isn't upset easily by someone passing on the sample. No, thank you very much. Great. We'll see you next time. Awesome. So that's where it is on that.
Well, Mark, you have given us a plethora of information today on franchises, both from the franchisee and the franchisor side. So I'm going to kind of challenge you here for one more piece of advice. And even if it's reframing a piece that you've already given, I think we'd be perfectly happy with that. But, our show is all about that, breaking the rules of conventional thinking and getting outside of the box. And what is something that you would say to a potential franchisee or franchisor, I'll let you pick, that would really kind of go a bit against the grain of what we maybe have come to think in standard traditional terms, that if we really want to have success, we need to embrace?
I might break it down to a couple things, but the first thing I would say is that you really can't do anything for long, and you can't do it successfully unless you like it. You gotta be with what you like. And even if you're making money at something, if you don't like it, I guarantee you that I won't pick any one profession. Oh, sure I will, lawyers. There are probably many, many lawyers out there who are making a lot of money, and they don't like the things they're doing, the people they're representing. the truths they're misrepresenting. I'm not generalizing. I'm just saying there's probably a number of lawyers who are making a ton of money who don't like what they're doing day to day. And ultimately, at the end of later on in life, you know, they'll turn and ask themselves, you know, was it worth it? And we only get one crack at this, Andy. And I say this to anybody, not just going into franchising, but going into any field. And, you know, inherently, you know it's right. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You got to do what you love. You have to be energized by what you love. You have to be fueled by it. You have to really enjoy it so that when you come home, you got enough left to give to somebody else. So in franchising, how do I expand that to franchising? Well, there's lots of things you can franchise with. There's automotive uses. There's edible fruit arrangements. There's food, of course. There's all sorts of categories of franchising. And the first thing to ask yourself is, what do I really enjoy? What have I enjoyed in my life? If you think you might like to go in a certain type of franchise, but you don't quite know, well, then seek to get a job in one of those franchises and do it and see what they're doing. Or extend the discovery period past the normal period. The franchise will push you, of course. They want you to make a decision. But you may literally say to them, I'd like to spend time in a store. And if they say no, you know, consider that. We wouldn't say no. We've done that to somebody that was on the fence. We've said, "Well, look, go here, and we'll arrange it. You'll stay in the store for a week, and you'll work, and you'll do all the roles, and see if you like it." Ultimately, you got to do what you like. Now, you ask me, is that being outside the box? I think it is. I'll tell you why. I think most people ultimately go for the money. They think that's the key. When they come in, the first types of questions they're asking is, how much can I make? What's food cost? What's labor cost? They're trying to figure out their projections to come to numbers. You know, when I talk to somebody that says, tell me what's it like to be in a store all day long, I perk up. Because there's a guy that's trying to figure out, what will my day be like? You know, is this something I'm going to like doing? I got to want to get up in the morning. When I hear that, when I hear those types of questions being asked on Discovery Day, I know we've got somebody who's thinking the right way. Then the other part of that question, there's probably many ways to answer it, but I'll close with this one. I'll say that you really need to try to figure out what is the next thing, or what is the current thing that will continue to be the next thing, because in so many instances, people are basing their decisions on how franchises and businesses in general have done for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And we all know that the industry changes. It could change quickly. You know, I have seen many franchises come and go, and I've seen many huge franchises shrink. I won't mention any brand names. That wouldn't be fair or nice. But it's true. And if the listeners will think about it, you can too. You don't want to join a ship while it's afloat but about to go belly up. So I would say when you're looking at a franchise, first is what category would light your fire? What would really get you up in the morning? Secondly, is that franchise on the cutting edge? Do they remodel constantly? Do they have the latest technology? Are they doing social media? Are they up to speed with what's going on? Can you see the vision that they sell you on Discovery Day? Do you really see that as a part of the future, or is it really more a part of the past? This is something that the franchisee has got to get comfortable with before making a decision, which for most, I'm sorry to say, is based on how much can I make? Of course, that's important, but these other two things, I think, lead the pack.
Well, Mark, let's put people in touch with you guys. Number one, let's start out by telling listeners, where can they find a Great Wraps here in the Atlanta area so they can go actually put some of this great food on a plate and enjoy some of this healthy, non-traditional cooking method?
Well, we're in all the malls. Great Wraps has been in Atlanta for over 25 years. Most of our stores are still the traditional models, which are quite profitable and quite attractive, and the food is fabulous. If you want to try the new cooking technology, our company-owned store is at 860 Johnson Ferry Road, which is right by Northside Hospital. There's your landmark on Johnson Ferry Road, right by Northside Hospital and Children's Hospital. And if you go in there, you will have a cheesesteak made off the grill with no oil. You'll have a gyro that has half the calories of a regular. You'll have shortly fries made with no oil. And if you're there for breakfast, you'll have a pancake made in this turbo oven, made very quickly, again, with no oil. And it is the best pancake I've ever had in my life. That's because we serve breakfast from that store.
And if they want to get some information, because they're more inclined to get on the internet, they want your website, maybe connect you with some social media, how do they go about doing that?
Well, Great Wraps is a very simple, greatwraps.com. Our new thrust, in addition to regional malls, which is our sweet spot now, but our new thrust is going into college campuses, into airports, military installations where spaces are small and they're very, very concerned with health and green and no venting, no emissions they have to get rid of, and no grease to dispose of. And so we are right where they want to be, and so we're finding incredible interest in those sectors, again, colleges, airports, and military installations. Some of those are available for franchising. Some of those have existing large operators that operate, but everything can be discussed. Or if you just want to talk about franchising in general, Andy, I'm happy to field a call. I love helping people, even if it's not about Great Wraps in specific, to talk about franchising in general. I'm happy to take that call. You can go on the website and enter a question, and they'll funnel over to me.
Wow, well, that is a pretty impressive invitation when you have the CEO of a company like Great Wraps willing to answer your questions about franchising. So if you're out there listening, certainly go back, listen through the show. There was some great information laid down today that I think can help you get on a great path to success in franchising. Beyond that, if you need a little more help, that's a very generous offer from Mark. Mark, thank you very much for putting that out to our listener audience, and thank you for being on the show today.
Again, thanks for having me.
Guys, it's time to get back at it. Our show is over for today. We hope you'll join us next time as we have another edition of Renegade Radio, where we're going to dig in and we're going to talk to companies that are doing things a little bit outside of the norm to create success in an ever-changing economic environment. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.